Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, and today I'm with special guest Anthony, and he has a message that he would like to share to the audience.
Hey, everyone. I would just like to say this podcast is unofficially sponsored by Roback. You can use my discount code in my Instagram bio to get 15% off your order.
Awesome. And also, can you tell them the name of your Instagram account?
Yes, that would be important. My Instagram account is AJFKRAKOWIAK.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And be sure to check out that link right there. And let's get into the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
What's up, everyone? And welcome to the third episode of From the Lions Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, a.k.a. Cello. And today we have a very special guest, my man, Anthony. Anthony, welcome to the podcast, my man.
Thank you, Marcel. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, well, let me give you a proper intro to my man, Anthony. So he was a starter for his varsity team throughout all 4 years of high school. He earned all-regional in 2019. In 2020, he was the Oakland Hills Junior Club champion. So pretty impressive right there. He had a career low of 75 in fall of 2022, and he earned spring 2023 academic all OAC honoree. So if you talk about the all-around student athlete, this is my man Anthony right here. So yeah, thank you for joining the podcast today, my man.
Absolutely, yeah. Again, really excited. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So let's get this interview started. So first off, how did you get into golf and what motivated you to pursue it competitively throughout high school?
Yeah, so I got into golf when I was 6 years old. We were at a club called Western Country Club, and I remember I did just basically a junior golf program there. And that really got me into it just from that moment when I was 6 years old. Like, I just absolutely loved it. And so I did like junior programs at our club, you know, all the way pretty much until high school. And I knew that, you know, by the time I got to high school, just because I'd practiced golf so much, I'd taken it seriously, I knew that was the sport that I wanted to play in high school.
Awesome. So, like, you said you started playing golf when you were 6 years old. So did you have any, like, family members that played golf, like, a lot? Or, like for example, like, you know, would they always go to the golf course? Or
definitely, yeah. So my dad played. He plays, yeah. He's a pretty avid golfer, and so he got me into golf, and he got my brothers into golf. So he is definitely the reason why I play golf. Thank you, Dad. Without him, I would not be a golfer.
Wow, that is awesome. I know, like me, for example, I started playing basketball when I was like 4 years old. So, you know, it definitely starts from like a young age for sure.
Definitely.
So, who were some of the golfers that you kind of like looked up to, and who were some of the golfers in high school who you kind of played against that, you know, kind of, I guess, provided some competition, some kind of rivalry?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, along the lines of what I just said, like, my dad was always someone I've looked up to. I mean, he taught me golf. He's a pretty good golfer. And just like when I was young, like, that was, you know, obviously every kid looks up to their dad, but especially like when you're playing golf and, you know, he's teaching me how to play. So I obviously looked up to my dad. There were definitely some, you know, PGA professionals that, you know, I look up to, like, obviously Tiger Woods being one of them. I love the guys who like have great stories, who maybe didn't come from a lot and really just dominated. One guy, Seve Ballesteros, he's Spanish guy. He was on the tour several years ago, but he was born in Spain. He was dirt poor, had nothing, and his brothers worked at a country club, and they brought back Seve, this basically it was a 5 iron with this bamboo pole attached to the club head. And this guy went to the beach every day and he learned how to hit sand shots with his 5 iron. And
Wow.
from there, he became a professional golfer. He had nothing, absolutely nothing, dirt poor. And so it's like guys like that that, inspire me and who I look up to. In high school too, we had a good team, especially for my high school, Division III. There were usually not a lot of talent, but there was, I remember freshman day tryouts, there was me and two other guys, and our coach was like, "Oh my gosh, I've got three freshmen who can actually hit the ball," which is so unusual for our high school because our sports were terrible. And so those two guys, Joe and Jordan, we constantly, pushed each other, and
Yeah.
it was good competition. So that's kind of how I got better through high school too.
Awesome. And yeah, like I mean that story that you just mentioned, like everyone always loves like that underdog story,
Absolutely.
they work hard, and they end up making it big and having this big success story. I mean, that's just beautiful. So, my next question is, how did you prepare for the golf season in high school, and what did your training schedule kind of like consist of? Like, I know myself, for example, I know over the summers, like I would spend at least like 4 hours a day training, like whether that was, I would, do 2 hours of weightlifting and then 2 hours of just cardio and then playing fives and pickup and like doing drills and stuff. So what did your training schedule kind of like consist of?
So to be honest, there's not a whole lot of training that I do for golf. It
Okay.
is probably one of the easiest sports on your body.
Really?
but I do practice a lot during the off season. The off season is the time to make swing changes because you don't want to do that during season. In season you want to be playing. So yeah, off season, I'd say my training is basically, making swing changes, getting my swing where I want it to be. And my uncle's got a simulator, which is close by my house.
Okay,
So over the winters
awesome.
in high school, I'd go there and practice at a simulator. It's just 10 minutes away. It was really nice. So, I could see my swing on video and just see what the ball's doing on a simulator. So it's really important to know that instead of just beating balls into a net, not knowing where the ball's going. So that's kind of how I would train in high school and
Awesome.
try to get better throughout the off season.
So like obviously now you play at John Carroll. So is your training kind of like the same thing during like the off season?
Yes, and our coach gives us specific drills that he wants us to do too. So like we'll do those, we'll send him our score or whatever it is. And we also do workouts with our strength and conditioning coach. We do those twice a week during the off season. It's a lot of like mobility and stuff like that, a little bit of weight training, but golf is it's a lot about being able to separate your shoulders from your hips, and we do like exercises like that to increase your mobility and everything like that.
Awesome. So like, is there any other like things that you have to do to kind of like prepare for the golf season, like aside from training?
I mean, I think there's mental training too. I've never really done mental training for but I mean, mental training is so important for golf. It's like, I mean, if you have a bad hole, it's like you got to learn how to, like Ben Hogan said, golf is a game that's played between your ears, and it's like really true. So like there's mental training and, learning how to, I guess, recover from bad shots and like keep
Right.
your focus and do all, because that golf is as much of a mental game as it is physical. So
Yeah, that is very true. So my next question is, were there any specific tournaments or matches during your high school career that had a significant impact on your development for the love of the game of golf?
yeah, I would say, well, the first one you mentioned was when I won the junior club championship at Oakland Hills. That was big, and there were a lot of kids competing in that. I remember that was going into my senior year actually,
Wow.
and that was the first tournament I had ever won. So
Really?
that was like, oh wow, like this just it feels great to win.
Wow.
So that was a great experience. I remember also my sophomore year at States. I shot an 80 the first day, which was like fantastic at
Jeez.
my level. And like I just remember that feeling. I had started off, I think I was basically like 9 over through 11 holes, and then I think the last 7 holes I played 1 under, and it was just a great feeling. And so
Wow.
that was like, I was just like, wow, this is, and that was like my first tournament where like I like really played well
Yeah.
in high school. And it was like, okay, like, and when you get that feeling of playing well, then it's like there's nothing like it.
Yeah, and I mean, you were also a champion. I mean, like that was like winning like your first ever tournament was probably just like the greatest feeling.
It was a great feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And also too, I mean, I'm sure you had tons of support from your family and teammates and friends.
Definitely.
So I'm sure it made that experience a whole lot better.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, family, teammates have always been very supportive.
Awesome. That's awesome. So obviously now you're here at John Carroll. So what was the recruiting process like for you? And overall, why did you choose to come to John Carroll University?
So the recruiting process, I had applied to, I was looking at a bunch of Division III
Okay.
small schools like John Carroll,
Yeah.
and there was one day. So my dad's friends with this one guy who knew the coach at John Carroll, Coach Moran,
Okay.
and this guy was like, "Oh, you should have your son apply to John Carroll, maybe check it out." And the rest is history. So
Yeah.
I went down to John Carroll. I met with Coach Moran and we had lunch. I played golf at Shaker, our home course, and
Okay.
I just loved the school. And I didn't apply to, or I ended up not applying to any other D3 schools. I knew this was
Really?
where I wanted to come.
Wow, so like right when you came and you visited, like you kind of just like fell in love with the
I
place.
did, yeah.
Wow. And like I mean, did you get to like I guess take a tour of like the other like courses like around like the area too?
A little bit, yeah. So I played Shaker, which is our home course. I looked at Highland. We play there sometimes. To be honest, we don't really play more than those are like our two home courses.
Okay.
But yeah, we for tournaments we, play. There's like a 2 hour radius that we travel around to play at tournaments, I would say. But when I was being recruited, I didn't really look at any of the other courses.
Okay. So, I mean, you are from Michigan. I mean, were there any other schools like in like Michigan that like had like your interests or like, you know, did you kind of want to go and like it's like a different state?
I mean, I think there's something to be said for like, so that John Carroll's 3 hours away from my
Yeah.
home, and I think it's like kind of the perfect distance where you're not too far. If I need to go back, I can always go back.
Right.
It's like a good distance too, or like that's the thing where if I went to somewhere like Adrian in Michigan, like I could have played there. It's roughly an hour from my house, so it's almost kind of like you want to go somewhere where you can be away from home a little bit too and
Yeah.
get that experience of growing up and going to college.
Right.
So
Right, exactly. So I guess compared to Division One and Division Two programs, what advantages do you think D3 golfers have? I guess like if that's like training or competition, like
for sure. Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of people who just like a lot of golfers, aspiring collegiate golfers who want to go D1, and it's like D3 is a great option. And like it's so hard to become a professional golfer, and I
it
know that
is.
I have absolutely no chance. And
Hey,
so
don't count that out yet, my man.
no. But I mean, I knew that in high school, like that there's no chance that like it's so hard to, and knowing that it's like if you go to even like a D2 or D1, where it's like it's such a commitment,
Yeah.
and whereas if you go to a D3, it's still like a huge commitment,
Right.
but I think like if because I'm a chemistry major too,
Yeah.
so playing golf and majoring in chemistry is quite the balance. So if I it's like if I went to a D1 school and I feel like I would all my time would basically be, it's like golf is my first priority.
Yeah,
So
right.
D3, it's kind of the advantage is that you can put your schoolwork first,
Yeah.
and then you golf is a very close second that you can put second. But I know here at John Carroll, I know my schoolwork will be my first priority. And I think that's a huge advantage for people who, you know, they know they're not going to be a professional golfer, but they still, you know, want to play on a team or play college golf. I think D3 is a great option.
Yeah, I mean, I like that's key. And obviously, like, school is just very important. Like, school always comes first. Like,
definitely.
Like no matter what. I mean, like, even, like, I remember in high school, like, my coaches always said, like, you know, school is first. Then, like, you know, basketball comes after. So
for sure.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, and if you go to those D1 programs, it's like, okay, now golf is first and then school is second. And I know, you know, I'm not going to be a pro golfer, but
hey, don't count that out, man. You are pretty good, Andy.
No chance.
So like, how is being a part of a golf team like influence like your personal growth and also your development as an athlete and as a person?
So, yes, I think I've grown a lot by being on this team. I remember when I came as a freshman.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know, our team was really good, and we won the conference that year. Our team was also very good last year. And then this year, this is not my junior year, so there were a ton of new freshmen that came in. There's 8 new freshmen.
Wow, okay.
And so, you know, everybody on the team was a little bit like, okay, like, what's the deal with all these freshmen? And we knew it's like, you know, we're going to have to compete. It's going to be really competitive to try to make the starting lineup. And I think that's somewhere where I've grown a lot is that, you know, instead of, I used to be more afraid of competition. And,
yeah.
You know, I'd be like, oh, like, what are these freshmen going to shoot? You know, are they going to take over the program? And it's, I've learned that, you know, I can still compete. I can play with these guys. And
yeah.
I think that's something where it's like, I'm not running away from competition anymore. I'm embracing it. I think that's how I've grown.
Right. And also too, I mean, I'm sure, you know, they also make you like a better player too. Like,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Like they, like I'm sure they want you to succeed and they want to push you to really become the best golfer that you could be.
Right. And the thing is, at least in the OAC, there's 2 golf schools. There's JCU and there's Otterbein. And, you know, it's like anybody on our team, honestly, could go to a different school in our conference and easily make the top 5.
Yeah.
But I think there's something to be said about coming here, and even if you're not in the top 5, you know, you're still competing. And it's like if you're at another school in their top 5, you don't have a chance to win the conference. It's either JCU or it's Otterbein. So it's something to be said for, you know, coming here, even if you're not in the top 5, you're still competing, and I think that's worth a lot more.
Right. And also too, I mean, I'm sure like you've learned just like a lot of like valuable lessons, like whether that's in life or whether that's in like golf. I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge that, you know, you could definitely take with you into like the real world.
For sure. Yeah. I'd say golf is translatable into the real world. There's a lot of things.
Oh yeah, for sure. So how do you balance academics and athletics as a D3 athlete, and how has that impacted your approach to the game of golf?
Yeah, I guess I touched on that a little bit, but yeah, so yeah. I'm a chemistry major.
Right.
For those who don't know, it is a lot of work.
Hey, smart man right here, man. He is.
But yeah, it's a lot of work. So you just have to be efficient. I know that probably sounds like basic, but it's like it's so true. You have to be efficient. You know, if you have some free time, it's like you can't be just scrolling through your phone on Instagram Reels or whatever. It's like, okay, you're gonna. The thing about college is, you know, you have class at maybe 9 in the morning. and then another class at 11, and then another class at 2. And it's like, so you've got that hour gap. What are you going to do with that? Are you just going to kind of screw away that time, or are you going to maybe do some homework for an hour? And so I've learned to, you know, with the time that I have, when I get some time, it's like, okay, you got to learn to budget your time well, and you know, get your schoolwork done so you can focus on golf.
And like also too, I mean, like it that's definitely hard. I mean, I guess going right from class to homework then to class, but I mean, I'm sure that you are used to it because, you know, you've been doing it since freshman year.
And I'm also more efficient when I'm busy too. So I notice that in the golf season, that's when I get the most done because I know that, okay, I got to go play 18 holes, but I also have all this homework to do. So you're having more on your plate is going to make you budget your time better, in my opinion.
You know, I mean, I'm sure that's definitely helped some of your skills, like, you know, time management,
Definitely.
organization, like
Yes.
all of like those like key factors.
Oh, definitely. For sure.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about a day in the life as a collegiate golfer. So kind of like walk us through, like, you know, like let's say like a game day, like for golf.
Sure. So, yeah, our tournaments are almost always on the weekends. So, well, I'll start by saying, so during the week, it's usually like a lot of qualifying. So, you know, I'll get up, I'll shower, I'll go to class, I'll do some homework. Golf practice is usually in the afternoon. Either we'll go to the range or work on my putting or short game, or we'll even just play 18 holes. So that's during the week. We qualify, get the lineup set, and then weekend comes. That's when we play our tournaments. And so we usually, if the course is around here, which is usually just our home courses, then we can just drive to the course. But if not, you know, most of the time we'll get in a van early in the morning, we'll drive to the course, and then we pretty much spend the whole day there. So that's the other thing is, you know, when you're playing college golf, your weekends are shot because you're playing in a, if you're playing in a tournament all weekend, you know, you get up at 8, you go to the vans, drive to the course, and then you're there and you're waiting for, you know, all 10 guys to finish, and then you come home and it's 9 o'clock and you go to bed. So that's pretty much a day when it's game day.
So like, I mean, it's like when you're like playing like, you know, in like tournaments or like I guess qualifying rounds, do you like walk or do you take the golf cart?
Oh no. No, it's all walking. Yeah,
Really?
we're not allowed to take carts. The one
Wow.
time we take carts is on our spring break trip because the course is, I mean, it's like 5 or 6 days of golf, and you know, we would be like so tired by the end if we didn't. It would be impossible to walk all those courses if we didn't have carts. So that's the one time of year. It's the best time of year we get to take carts on the courses, but all the other times is, yeah, we're walking, we're carrying our bags. So
So like it's so like do you carry them or do you kind of use like that like I know I've seen at like some golf courses they have that like push
oh,
one.
push carts, yeah. No, I carry mine. So a few guys on my team use a push cart. But yeah, I most of the guys carry their bags.
Awesome. So I mean, I have some other questions as well. So have you ever hit a hole in one before?
No, I have not. Funny story though, my brother Matt just got his first hole in one a couple weeks
Really?
ago. Yeah, so that was cool. He yeah, it was 140 yards. I think he hit an 8 iron into the wind. So yeah, that was cool. That just happened like 3 weeks ago.
Did it like bounce in or like did it
Yeah, he
kind of?
said it took one bounce and then into the hole. So, and he was using a JCU Pro V1, which is pretty cool.
Nice. Oh my
So yeah,
gosh.
so my brother has one. I have not. I have had an eagle on a par four. So that was a hole out from 130 yards. Crazy story actually with that. It was my grandpa. He was watching me play golf, and he had stage four prostate cancer. And so this was the summer going into my senior year of high school, and it was his last time ever watching me golf. So on the first hole, said a little prayer, said that it could be a meaningful experience for my grandpa. I hit my drive right down the middle, about 280, and then I had 130 in, and I holed out, and it was incredible. And so my grandpa was there to witness that, and it was the last time he'd ever watched me golf. So that's a great story. I love telling that. So no hole in one, but I'd say that was just as good.
Dude, that is a beautiful story,
Yes, it
man.
was a great story.
Me, I've never had a hole in one. Hey, maybe one day though. Hey, you know,
maybe when we go golfing.
Yeah. So obviously the Masters is coming up this weekend. I think it starts tomorrow, right?
It does. First round's tomorrow. Yeah.
Awesome. So do you have a Masters prediction?
Man, I want to say. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, he's been just so consistent. Won the Players about a month ago. Runner-up at, the tournament in Texas a couple weeks ago. He's just really? Been so consistent. I mean, he won the Masters 2 years ago. I could see him doing it again.
Wow. So, yeah, and, like, what's crazy is that, like, yeah, me personally, I don't really watch a whole lot of golf, but I've just seen him just everywhere. And I think he's ranked number one, right?
He is number one, yeah.
And I think he's number one. Was he number one last year, too?
He was for a time, I think. For most of last year, he was number one, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, he's definitely my favorite, too. I mean, is there like, any other, I guess, golfers that you could see winning it?
I mean, I could see. I really like Wyndham Clark.
Yeah.
Won the U.S. Open last year, and he's been playing well. He almost beat Scotty at the Players. So,
really?
Yeah, he finished. He had the lip out. I don't know if you saw that on the 18th hole.
I actually did.
Yes.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was Wyndham Clark. Could see him. I could see. I'm going to say, I'll go out on wild wing here, say Ludwig Åberg.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a new golfer this year, number nine in the world. I love his swing.
Wow, so, nine as like a rookie?
Nine as a rookie, yeah.
Wow, so that's actually really impressive.
Been playing well. Yeah, played well at the Players. Yeah, I love Ludwig. So
wow, that
maybe Ludwig. That would be awesome. But my first prediction is Scotty. So.
Yeah. So do you have any like pregame like routines? Is there any kind of like artists that you listen to like before like a golfing match? Like I don't mind, for example, I know in the last podcast, me and Omar talked about it. You know, I'd always bring up, it wasn't PBJ. It was a turkey sandwich, applesauce. Oh my gosh. It was like a protein bar. And then it was something else. I don't know what it was, but I'd always have to eat those like in,
sure.
like in order. And
that
was like my like routine before every game.
Gotcha. So this might sound crazy, but I don't listen to music before tournaments.
Okay.
Yeah. So just, listening to the sound of nature as I'm warming up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I go to the range. I don't like to hit too many balls just like until, you know, I like to definitely end on a good shot, but
of course
sometimes you don't want to feel like you're, you know, if you start hitting too many balls and you start hitting them bad, and it's like, then you get, you know, that starts bugging you mentally.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Yeah, it's better to, I think, just hit maybe 20 balls on the range, get warmed up, and then I always, you know, go to the putting green. If there's a spot to chip, I'll do that too, and then
awesome.
Time to go to the first tee.
So. Sweet. So what's like your favorite course that you played at?
My favorite course is definitely Oakland Hills. That's my home course in Michigan.
Awesome.
It's a fantastic course.
Awesome. So describe your collegiate debut. It's like your first ever golf tournament here at John Carroll. Just like describe that like feeling.
It was fun. I remember we played at our conference course, River Greens, and yeah, we went down. We brought the whole team. There were 17 guys who played. I didn't play well. I shot 83, but it was still – I mean, I remember I was very nervous for the tournament because, you know, it was my first time. And,
right.
You know, you get nervous. But first time seeing the course too. But, yeah, it was – I remember our one man shot 68 for that tournament.
Wow.
Shout out Johnny Roeder.
Yeah. So, wow.
Yeah, but that was – and then we won the tournament. I was the 10 man. But, yeah, I was nervous, but it was – you know, it was good to – from there on out, you know, the tournaments got easier to play in.
Oh, yeah.
You become less nervous and more of a routine thing.
Right. So, do you have, like, a favorite golf club?
Favorite golf club? And I would say probably my 7-iron. It's just
– Really?
I mean, I don't really have a favorite golf club, but it's more like if I had to – if I could only use one club, it would probably be a 7-iron because it's – probably in the middle of everything. Wow. You know, sometimes a good drill. I've never done this, but I've had friends who, you know, just you go play a course with just a 7 iron or a 6 iron,
and it teaches
you how to, like, you know, I guess manage your misses kind of, and shorten your swing and hit different shots. And so,
wow, yeah, I think my favorite club, and I went golfing yesterday, I think my favorite club is the pitching wedge.
Pitching wedge, okay.
Yeah, like, what's it called? It was, like, on a par three, like 172, and I teed off with the pitching wedge. And it was awesome. It went, like, I think it was, like, a little bit short of, like, the green.
Yeah, I mean, 172 is a long pitching wedge.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I hit mine, like, 140.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not that good at golf, or I'm not good at all, actually. But, so, like, I was, like, I had a chance to, like, get, like, my first par.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then I missed, like, the putt. I was so upset.
Have you ever had a par before?
Never.
Never? Go get it.
Never had a bogey either.
Okay.
But,
oh, really? Okay.
Never. But, gotcha. You know what? I've actually improved a lot since last
That's
year.
That's great. That's what matters. So,
yeah, just keep on staying consistent with the game.
Definitely.
So, I have 4 more questions.
Okay.
But these are kind of, like, the last two of, like, the main ones. So, what advice would you give aspiring collegiate golfers who hope to excel both on the course and in the classroom?
Sure. So, again, I touched on this earlier, but I think it's kind of the same thing where I'd really recommend D3. I think it's a great option for people, you know, who they know they're not going to be a pro golfer, but they want to play college sport at, you know, still a very competitive level, and but still take school or prioritize school first. So I would really consider D3. That's what I would say for aspiring collegiate golfers.
Awesome. And then the last question is, what advice would you give to a college student who's not good at golf?
I would say, you know, it's not too late. You know, it's a great skill to have in the business world. You know,
right, it's true.
Take people out golfing. And that's always what I've said. You know, even if my college career doesn't go exactly how I want it to, it's like I'm a good golfer. I'll have this skill for the rest of my life. And, you know, I can, you know, play in outings or, you know, do whatever as it relates to business. So, I think it's a great skill for people to have, and definitely try to pick it up.
Awesome.
And it can be discouraging, because golf is so discouraging. But
I
if you can get to the level where you can, you know, just are good enough to even play in a scramble, and like you're good enough to play for business or whatever, like I think that's really great.
Yeah, awesome. So like, what's it called? Yeah, so I'm not good with my driver at all.
Okay.
I'll get a few good shots every now and then, but I guess what tips would you give when like using like your driver?
Driver, sure. I think it's, you know, a lot of people tend to slice their driver, and
yeah, that's me.
Yep. So even myself, my irons, I tend to play a little draw, and driver, I have the tendency to even play a little fade, and it's really important, especially for your longer clubs, to learn how to shallow the club and learn how to get that right elbow into your body.
Okay.
Because you want to, on that downswing, you want to have the butt of the club pointed outside the ball. So that's called being shallow. And if you're coming down steep and cutting across it, that's how you're going to get those big slices. So it's important to learn how to shallow the club and get that right elbow in.
All right, perfect.
So that's what you're going to work on.
It is. Yeah, next time I go to the range or to the golf course.
Awesome. Those are work on shelling the club.
Yeah, just keep that,
keep
right,
that right elbow in.
Keep that right
it's
elbow
It's like
in.
Any sport. It's like tennis. You know, you get that right elbow in.
Right.
Throwing a football, get the right elbow in. It's
right.
You know, golf is very similar to a lot of things.
Awesome. Sweet. So, all right. So now we are turning to the quote of the episode segment. Obviously, we have a quote from the great Arnold Palmer.
Got his hat.
Yeah. So, this quote says, success in this game depends less on strength of body than strength of mind and character. So how does that quote relate, you know, to your life and within golf?
I mean, within golf, it's so true. It's like what Ben Hogan said, again, it's a game played between your ears. You got to learn how, if you hit a bad shot, how are you going to recover from that? You know, it's just like, it's so important to keep your focus right. And, you know, a lot of times when I play golf, it's like I'll be so much more drained, even if it's like a 3-day tournament, I'll be so much more drained mentally than I am physically, because it's so much just focus And, you know, like if you lose your focus, you could hit a bad shot. So that's why it's just so mental.
Yeah, awesome. So, what's one quote that you live by each and every single day?
I'll say one quote I live by every day is live today like it's your last. And I think, you know, it doesn't really have to do with golf, but I think it's so important if you just think about, you never know what's going to happen to you or your friends or your family. And, you know, you just always got to keep that in mind. So you got to live each day like it's your last, and, you know, treat the people you love with respect and be kind to others. And I think that's just so important.
It's true. And also too, like, you know, always tell, you know, friends, family, others that you know that you love them too. Like
Absolutely.
that's one thing that like I always do like every single day, because like I mean that quote definitely like relates to my life too.
For sure.
Because and you know what, you just have to be thankful for, you know, the good, the bad, positive, the negative. Just, you know, always try to stay happy and keep a smile on your face for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Awesome. All right, everyone. So shout out to my man Anthony. Very blessed to have him on this podcast. Great golfer, great friend, like amazing student. Honestly, one of the smartest people who I know, honestly. And but yeah, thank you for joining the podcast today. Hopefully you enjoyed it.
I did. Thanks so much for having me, Marcelo.
Of
Really
course,
appreciate it.
of course. So make sure to, you know, like, subscribe, comment, and you know, this podcast is on Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Samsung, and hopefully on Apple Podcasts soon. So please stay tuned for that. But hopefully you enjoyed. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one, episode 4, on the way next week. Saturdays at 4:30. Stay tuned. All right, we'll see you later.